Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, 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 oh,
everybody, you're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now, one and only Steve Harvey. I got a radio show. You know, I eventually wanted to syndicate after I was given the opportunity, but the whole thing about a radio show in the beginning was not my idea. My idea simply was, I asked God to make me one of the premier stand-ups in the country. That's all I wanted from him. I asked him that in 1985. That's all I asked him for. He's done so much more for me since then. He's blessed me with so many more opportunities. He's opened up so many more doors. He's poured out so many more blessings. And it's hard for me sometimes, really, man, to even take it all in, because I feel like, wow, man, really, me? Thank you. I mean, I'll take him. Now, don't get me wrong, but it can be overwhelming at times. I often used to hear my mother say, who was a Sunday school teacher, and I remember these words all the time now, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Now, I kept waiting on that day, mama. Where's that day at? Because I got plenty of room, because I'm dirt poor right now. I got room for $1,000. I had room for, I had all that. Now I understand. One of the things, though, that he's done for me that I've asked him for in my lifetime is that he has made me matter. Okay, Steve, what do you mean by that? So I used to ask God a long time ago, one of my prayers was to help me matter, that I want to matter to the people that I come in contact with. Look, I just don't want to be a man that they meet, or a young guy that they meet, and when they meet me, it doesn't cause a ripple in the pond. I want to make ripples in the pond. I want to be that rock that when you throw, you try to count the ripples as it go out. I want to be a 14 ripple rock. I don't know if you know what that means, but when I was a little boy, we used to stand on the bank at ponds and stuff and throw rocks out into the water. We should either skip them or we'd throw them. And when they would land in the water, they would create these rings that go out. If you threw it high enough and it dropped straight down in that water, the little rings would start forming out, like it would create a little waves. And these waves just look like circles in the water. And I remember one time I made 14 of them. And that's always stuck with me as a little boy. That was because nobody in my circle could make 14 rings. And they all counted them, so they saw them. So I enjoyed that because I had made a bigger splash, a bigger ring pattern than anybody else. So I've always asked God to make me matter in my own way, make me a big ring pattern. See, because that's important to me. Now, it was important to me, but I didn't understand why I needed that to be the important part of me. Because here is the other part. You know, the thing that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. You've heard the thing, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, those things like that that you learn along the way. Well, if you matter to people, then guess what? All of those become a real possibility in your life. See, you can't ask for the yin without the yang. You can't ask for it without the responsibility that comes with it. See, God can't bless you with a lot, and then you think that it ain't going to be a lot required of you. I have people pulling at me all day, but I have to remember that prayer I made now. I wanted God to help me to matter. Now, this is important, y'all, because, see, if your prayer is to matter, that means that you wanna matter in the circle that you in. No matter how big the circle you in, no matter how small the circle you in, you want to make a difference. You want to have an impact on somebody's life in a positive way. If that's one of your prayers, guess what? God will readily give you that. Because when you do something for the least of these, it's just like you've done it on his behalf or you've done it as him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but when you do something for the less fortunate, you're doing God's work. God gonna bless you for doing that. So now here's the deal. So if your prayers to matter is to become an impactful person, then guess what? God gonna help you do that because guess what? You're gonna do some work on his behalf because you're gonna run across somebody that's less fortunate. You're gonna run across somebody that could use your impact. You're gonna run across somebody, man, that ain't quite knowing which way to go. And because you done been down that dirty dog road before, you can say, hey, my man, let me pull your coat to something. You can do this now, but let me tell you what's going to happen. If I were you, I would consider this. That's making an impact. That's like the guy that passed out in L.A. named Lou Danzler out there that had this Boys and Girls Center out there in the hood. And, man, I can't tell you the people's lives he impacted. I remember when Eric Davis, bad baseball player, came back and spoke at the group one time, looking at them kids and hugging Lou Danzler, thanking him, man, for changing his life. This guy became one of the superstars in the Major League Baseball. And then just the thousands of people's lives that he affected. And when he passed, what he did was he left an imprint. He left an imprint that's huge. And that's all I wanted, man. I just said, man, if I could make an imprint. You know what I mean? It's like you walking through life, right? And you making footprints in sand. I want my footprints to be so deep that after I'm gone, people can still tell I had come through there. People can still see that Harv walked over there. Hold up, man, look right here, man. Steve Harvey came through here because I want my footprints to be so deep in the sand that I matter to so many that even after I'm gone, I can still show you the way. That even after I'm gone, I still have an effect on my children, on my sons, so that my sons can look up one day and go, remember all the conversations we had. Man, my daddy used to tell me this. And maybe I can turn my sons into men. You understand? Turn my daughters into ladies. You understand? So they ain't got to follow the crowd and get out here. You know, man, you got to want to matter, man. You got to want to make a difference. And so at the end of my life, when it's all over and the winds is blowing the sand back in my footprints, I want it to take a while. I want several sandstorms to have to come through there before my footprints get filled up. That's how much I want to matter. Mattering is important. It's got to be important to you. What's your legacy? What you going to leave behind? What they going to say about you? You know, it's a cold thing, you know, when you die, and you get a tombstone. This tombstone has your date of birth, your tombstone has a dash, and your tombstone has the date of your death. Here lies so-and-so, so-and-so, born such-and-such a day, dash, died such-and-such a day. Now, you would think that the most important thing on that plaque, on that tombstone, is your birthday. Or you would think that the most important part on that tombstone is the day you left here. But it's not. See, when they put your birth date on the tombstone, they put a dash. And then they put the date you left here. The most important thing on that tombstone is that dash. What did you do while you were here? It ain't your birthday they're going to celebrate. It ain't the day you die they're going to celebrate. They're going to celebrate that dash, what you did while you was here. It's the smallest thing on that tombstone, but it's the most important thing on that, man. What you doing about your dash, y'all? You got to wake up to matter to somebody. You got to make an imprint in the sand. You got to affect some people's lives, and you got to do it all in a positive way. So we got to wake up every day thinking about them footprints we laying down, that legacy we creating, that what they going to talk about when we gone moment. What you doing about your dash? My dash is January 17, 1957. That's my date. My dash, I'm working on that right now. Now, when I leave here, what I want them to talk about, Steve Harvey, ain't January 17, 1957. Ain't the date I leave here. I want them to talk about that dash. Man, when he was on here, this is what he did. Man, that was my man. All right, let's go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
I got it. I got it, man. I said I got it.
Woo!
I got you, and I'm super bad. I got you, best I ever had.
I have a question for you.
What?
What day is it?
Sure. I have no idea what day it is.
Just so you'll know and get your bearings.
Listen
to me. It's Tuesday, sir.
Okay, Shirley. Yesterday morning at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Which was Monday to me.
Uh-huh.
Which you thinking is Monday, but in y'all's world, my yesterday Monday at 8 a.m. was 8 p.m. Sunday night.
Whoa.
So to tape Miss Universe.
Uh-huh.
The girls had to be in the theater at 3:30 a.m. in the morning.
Wow. Oh.
I showed up
so early
at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
We went live at 8 o'clock a.m.
Mm.
What time did Miss Universe come on here?
I think East Coast it was 7 maybe. I think 7.
I don't know.
Yeah. 7, I think. Yeah, I think 7 o'clock, Steve. P.M.
So,
P.M. Sunday night.
Okay, first of all, let me say I'm grateful.
Uh-huh.
I thank God for all my victories. I thank God for protecting me, for camping his angels around me.
Oh, yeah.
For forever holding me when it looked like it's crazy. You know what I've learned in this whole ordeal?
What?
The Trump visit, the federal court, the Miss Universe. You know what I learned in all of it?
What?
When you find yourself in a dark place and it feels like and you think you've been buried, you've actually been planted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what my takeaway was over the past 2 weeks.
Wow. That's profound. It really is.
You know, somebody sent that to me.
Mm-hmm.
A minister sent that to me.
I love it.
He said, when you're in a dark place and you feel like you've been buried, relax. You've actually been planted.
Wow.
So, it's just something else. God gonna have you push your way through.
Yeah.
Because he growing you into another plant. Because, you know, if you take a seed and put it on the ground, if you just throw it on the ground, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. You got to put dirt on it.
Dirt, yeah.
Now, dirt look crazy, but dirt is nutrients.
Right.
Dirt is actually vitamins. Mm-hmm. It creates a struggle because that little seed has to push through something to get to the surface to become what God intended for it to be.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway over the past few weeks.
I would think that was excellent. Yeah, I like that a lot. And
yeah.
And might I say you did a really good job. I mean, you were on point. Your jokes were, they landed. The opening was funny. We played a lot of it on the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It was funny. You did a great job.
I didn't
job,
know, because let me tell you
the
something.
The
just
were beautiful, too.
Yeah, hear the crazy part. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just did Miss Universe yesterday. See, what? y'all on another. We were a whole nother world apart. I just did Miss Universe yesterday.
Wow, well, we saw it day before yesterday.
I saw the end of the show was at 11.
Mm-hmm.
I got on plane at 3.
Okay, so you ended the show at 11 p.m. You got on the plane at 3
no,
a.m.?
I finished the show at 11 a.m. See, I just did Miss Universe yesterday morning.
Yeah, at 8 a.m. Okay, I got you now. Okay.
I did Miss Universe at 8 a.m. yesterday morning.
Wow, I got it.
And then I got on a plane. I don't know.
I don't know how that works. Yeah.
No, trust and believe. It's so crazy. All right, let me give you an example.
Now I'm confused.
If you all are wondering why it's just me and Shirley, uh-huh. There's some technical difficulty, and we can't punch up Tommy and Carla or Junior.
They're at work. We can see them. We just can't hear them.
On video, we can see them. I'm in Chicago. I ain't with nobody. So here's the deal. So I left Dallas, Texas from federal court on Thursday.
Okay.
Night.
Thursday
night, mm-hmm. I left Dallas, Texas from federal court. Another victory. God, again, taking care of his boy.
He was
tell you something?
He was right there with you. He fought that case for you.
Can I tell you what's crazy?
Say it.
This been going on. Can I tell you this?
The case?
Since I was 38 years old.
Wow. And you just made 60.
This began when I was 38 years old.
Wow, Steve. That's a long, long time.
1993 is when this began.
So, and you're done with it now. You won and done.
Man, I'm talking about on every single count.
Wow. That's a blessing.
Every single count. And I mean, they had some counts because they were trying to do you, boy.
Mm.
But it was just wrong, man. It was just wrong. God came, got me. So anyway, that's over with. Okay. So I get on the plane Thursday night.
Yeah.
When I land in the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
It's Saturday morning. Now, they take me, first of all, when I got to the airport in the Philippines, I've never had that many people meet me at the airport.
Oh, really?
When I pulled my shade up and looked out the window, the last time I saw that many people.
Yeah. When?
Waiting at a jet for a jet to come off. My partner was being extradited. And he had on cuffs and shackles.
Oh.
That's the last time I seen that many people at an airport waiting on somebody.
So were they happy that you were there?
Was it
a greeting committee?
Oh,
your
man.
Fans?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Man.
Okay, that's good.
Unbelievable.
You need
went
that.
I needed that so mm-hmm. bad. Went straight to rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about from that straight to rehearsal. Walked in to rehearsal. 86 women in swimsuits.
It was a good day.
Lord. Why is this happening to me and I'm 60?
All right. I know you have something funny for us or something about your trip. Something more. All right. We'll be back with Steve. Something funny at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Steve is back from Manila in the Philippines.
I don't know what day it is.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. You back.
It's crazy, man.
And again,
I traveled for a whole day yesterday, 20 hours of flight time, and got here, and it was still the same damn.
That's a good thing.
Man.
He came back, huh?
But going there, Tommy, I left Dallas Thursday night. Mm-hmm. When I got in the Philippines, it was Saturday morning, almost noon. My whole Friday was just gone.
Wow. So you got some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Well, man, it was just been... Miss Universe was an interesting...
You handled it, though. Whew, you handled it.
Yes, Lord.
You read it slow, though. You made sure you read it slow, didn't you?
How was he reading, Tommy?
Yeah.
And the winner is...
Tommy said you were reading like a third grader.
Hell yeah. You're going to take it slow.
What y'all ain't finna do is do me what you did to me last year. And well, I set it all up this year, though. I was going to be no mistakes right here. First of all, y'all going to give me two cards, and you're going to separate them. And then don't even try that. And the first runner up business. Mm-hmm. Don't even try that, because that ain't how we rehearsed it last year. Then y'all going to add it on the card at the last minute. Oh, no, nah, hell no. Y'all ain't doing that either. Okay, Steve, what do you want to do?
Oh, they had attitude
with you. But they're going to be mad, though. Okay, well, how do you want to do it? The way we rehearsed it. How about that? I had everybody on point, though.
When they brought you the glasses, Miss Philippines, that was hilarious.
That was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right before you read the winner.
I wrote that joke.
Uh-huh. That was funny.
Oh, really? Okay, that was cute.
That was funny.
I thought that would be funny.
All right, pop your collar.
She didn't want to do it.
Oh, she didn't?
No. I didn't want to do that. She didn't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
No, she was really, really great.
There were.
I'm gonna tell you something, man.
So
Miss Kenya was the brightest,
she was beautiful.
One of the brightest women there, man. She was so, so sharp. Her career, everything, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought her question was a little bit deep.
Trump
and all of it right there. You know, it's kind
who
of
writes
tough
them
to
questions? Though?
I don't know. It ain't me.
Question.
Hey. Let's not start.
You write jokes.
I write the damn jokes. I don't write no damn questions. I don't got no damn vote. So, man.
You going to take all this Miss Universe. Y'all going to get all this off me.
Hell yeah, because then I'll be an Uncle Tom for reading a question to Miss King. Yeah. Hey, man, one thing I have learned, miss me with social media. My takeaway in all this was, I don't give a damn about social media no more, man.
It's interesting. There was a study out, I think, last week that a lot of millennials aren't on social media as much as Generation X, the Generation Xers before them. And I've run into quite a few young people that don't do social media.
I ain't ran into one.
I have. That's interesting.
I ain't ran into one. Not now one.
Well, your president is on social media for sure.
Yeah, at night, late at night.
Everyone's
sleeping. That's how he's running the country right now, through Twitter.
Anybody surprised?
No.
Anybody
he did it all through the campaign.
Surprised.
He did it all through the campaign.
Where is the shock in this?
All right.
I beg. Didn't I begged everybody go to Pope. That's what I begged.
Yes.
Cool. We ain't go.
We did.
Now here we is.
Got a band going on, a travel band. Okay.
Locked out. I can't believe you made it back in here, really.
Tommy was concerned.
Philippines wasn't one of the seven countries.
I still don't matter.
No.
When you get in, they put you on hold.
Can I tell you? Oh, let me tell you something off there.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news. She's, of course, going to talk about Donald Trump's firing of Miss Yates, the acting attorney general, Sally Yates. And up next, the nephew on tap with Run That Prank Back. What you got, Neff?
Bump and grind. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Bump and grind is the prank. Coming up next, if you missed it yesterday, I got it for you.
Okay. Boy, this is my jam right here.
Uptown Reese. Marcus.
Yeah, this is he.
Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. Go ahead.
Hey, listen.
Hold on. Let me turn the radio down for a second. Go ahead.
Hey, listen. I live in an apartment building that you just moved into. I live in A, and you live above me in A.
Uh-huh.
I actually got your number from the leasing office. I told them I wanted to welcome you to the apartment building, man, but I didn't want to really raise no eyebrows, but I was really calling about, you know, first of all, let me go ahead and say welcome to the building, man. I hope that you and your is that your wife that lives with you?
First of all, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. But why would you need to have my number to do that? You could have just came and knocked on my door, man.
Well, see, what a reason why, I mean, I really called and got the number was kind of reach out to you, man. I don't be wanting to start no trouble with nobody or nothing like that. I be wanting to, you know, I want my neighbors to be cool with me, and I want to be cool with my neighbors. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I was reaching out, man, because, you know, the noise, man. I work at night, and I sleep during the day, man. But it seems like since you guys moved in, man, in the middle of the day, it's you know, I mean, I know what it's like to have a lady.
Wait, hold up. You're hearing noises coming from my place in the middle of the day?
Right. I mean, I'm guessing I'm hearing you making love to your lady, man. I mean,
Nah, man. You know what it is? You might be hearing something from another unit, man. It's definitely not coming from us because I'm at work and my girl is there, but she's on the computer. You know, she's looking for a gig right now. Hello?
Okay. Wait a minute now. So you live in apartment A, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I live in A. Your bedroom is above my bedroom.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You telling me that you hearing noises that sound like somebody's making love coming from my crib at this time of day, and I'm not there, and only my woman is there? Dude, man, you know, again, I'm not trying to be rude or anything. I appreciate you calling and you know, neighbor and all that. Yeah, you said you went, right?
Yeah.
Look, man, you called me, all right? So let's get to the bottom of this one time. You saying you hear noise. What kind of noise are you hearing exactly? Tell me.
Hey, you know what, man? This is probably just a big mistake. I mean, maybe she's just hanging some pictures or something, bro. I apologize for calling.
Pictures, man. We ain't even bought no pictures yet. I mean, you calling me like you hearing a jackhammer going off in my crib. You talking about, man?
Hey, man. Listen, Marcus. I apologize. I'm. You know, I'm.
No. My man. You telling me I'm a man. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what you are, but I'm a man.
You calling me,
telling me you hearing noises coming from my crib that sound like somebody's. And now you're telling me don't worry about it? Maybe you made a mistake.
Hey, man, all I'm saying is maybe it's just a legitimate mistake. All I'm saying, maybe she's hanging some pictures or moving some furniture or something like that.
Ain't no pictures, man. I keep telling you that. Ain't no pictures. Ain't nobody hanging. It shouldn't be no noise coming from my crib.
Hey, man, I ain't trying to start no trouble, man.
Well, you done started some man. What you talking about?
Hey, man, all I was calling about was trying to get a decent rest, man. I work at night, bro. That's all I'm talking about, man. I'm not trying to.
I don't give a if you work the graveyard shit. I don't care. You calling me, telling me about my crib that I just moved into. You hearing noises. Ain't no going on like that, man. I don't even believe it. Yo, homie, you got the right address. Where you live at, man? You live on the road?
Yes, man, in apartment A, and your place is above mine, man.
Hold on, man. Let me pull this over, man. Hold on one second, man. Because you talking some
Dude, hey, man, look, I'm not trying to have no trouble, man. I'm not trying to have no trouble, man.
You're working there, dude. I do 50 hours a week, man. I don't need to hear no like this.
Okay, dog, I'm not. All I'm saying is, man, I thought you was making love to your woman, man. That's what I thought. That's why I called you to ask y'all to keep the noise down.
I ain't making love to my wife. I ain't even in my house right now. I'm on my radio. Trust that. We gonna hear this, okay? And I'm coming right to your crib to hear it. I want to hear it from your crib.
No, hold on. Hold the hell up, dude. You're not coming to my apartment to hear nothing, man. I ain't got nothing to do with this.
If I ain't, I whip your. Don't talk that to me. You don't know me.
I ain't letting you in my house, man, about no man that you got going on upstairs. You gotta control your woman, man. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Don't tell me nothing about my woman. You don't even know my woman.
I know she been up there weighing it out for the last 2 weeks between 12 and 2. I know that.
You got to be. You talking a gang of man. I'm coming to your house.
You ain't coming to my apartment, man. I'm not it. Hey, man, listen. No. I ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm telling you.
You got trouble. I'm coming to your crib, man.
Hey, I got one more thing I need to say to you, man. Is you listening?
From my crib. I ain't even home.
I got one more thing I need to say, all right? All right?
You better be telling me you're opening the door.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your homeboy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What the?
Hey, do you live in, man? Step away from, hey, please. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your boy got me to prank you, man.
Oh, oh,
are you at A?
Dude, I'm right outside my apartment, man. I'm ready to blow ass hang up, man.
This Nephew Tommy? This Tommy, man. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, Tommy. You had me going, man. I was coming to up, man. I'm serious, man.
I got one more thing I got to ask before I let you go, man. What is the baddest radio show in the land, man?
Man, it's the Steve Harvey Morning Show, without a doubt.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Whoa!
Really?
Whoa.
Get started. Get it cracking.
He's back!
Uh-huh.
Oh! With a good spirit. I like it.
No!
One thing about this presidency is you go to bed and you wake up and something different has
something
happened
different
overnight.
Happened.
Yeah. Overnight.
So I guess that trip to see Trump wasn't that bad now, huh, y'all? The hell y'all got to talk about now? You'll get off my ass is what you gonna do.
We said we was gonna let it go.
So,
let's let it go.
Well, I just let it go. I just had to say one motto.
So just introduce Miss Ann, because yeah, she's got to talk about what happened overnight.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Ooh, you're gonna
thanks,
be
good
everybody.
Miss Ann.
Yeah, this is Andrew for the news. Well, President Trump fired the acting U.S. Attorney General, Sally Yates, last night because Yates refused to defend his new immigration order, saying she wasn't convinced that it was lawful. In a statement, the White House says Yates, quote, betrayed the Department of Justice. She was an Obama administration appointee who was weak on borders and very weak on illegal immigration. So they got somebody else over there working. Meanwhile, the New York Senator Charles Schumer says he's calling on the Congress to repeal the president's executive order. On NBC's Today Show the other day, the senator said that the order was poorly implemented and doesn't really address terrorist threats anyway.
This focus on securing our borders and our homeland was obviously a major part of what the president campaigned on.
Anyways, he says not from these countries. At one point while talking about the ban, the senator seemed to choke up and cry. However, the president wasn't impressed.
I noticed Chuck Schumer yesterday with fake tears. I'm going to ask him who is his acting coach because I know him very well. I don't see him as a crier. There's about a 5% chance that it was real, but I think there were fake tears.
On Saturday, the federal judge in Brooklyn issued a temporary stay on deportations. And the Department of Homeland Security said it's going to comply with that. Meanwhile, get this, there are teams of lawyers hanging out in certain airports, including New York City's JFK and Washington's Dulles, to offer free legal help to anybody who may need it in light of the new ban. You know, anybody who's like staying in a holding cell there or something like that because they arrived and can't enter. The Trump administration is still defending the statement it issued last Friday on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, where it made no mention of the 6 million Jews killed and made no mention of anti-Semitism at all. Trump spokesman Hope Hicks has told CNN that, quote, well, despite what the media reports are, we are an incredibly inclusive group, and we took into account all those who suffered, unquote. And one more. President Trump, too, has announced his pick to become the 9th Supreme Court Justice tonight at 8. Yeah. Even though the GOP is in control of both the houses of Congress, you know, the first legislative battle of the presidency could ensue because, unlike some other Capitol Hill actions, a simple majority in the Senate doesn't do. They need 60 votes, which means the Republicans will have to get no less than 8 Democrats to go along with them. So stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. And finally, today is Scotch Tape Day, and perhaps appropriately, it's also Hell is Freezing Over Day.
Welcome to hell!
Now back to Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Ann.
Miss Ann, black people don't like that kind of stuff. Once you mention hell to black people, our whole butt tighten up.
We believe in it strongly.
Your butt immediately puckers. Once you start talking about hell, we just...
Yeah. We get scared, don't we?
Yeah, we immediately lock up on hell jokes.
Thank you, Miss Ann.
Man, you ever thought about what hell gonna be like? Uh-uh, don't play Steve.
I'm not trying to go there. Tommy, this story's for you. This is really a story for you. The title alone, Get Naked, Be Happy.
That's it right there.
She doesn't need to go any further.
It says we could all use a dose of happiness these days, considering what's going on in the White House, and apparently it's easy. Just take off your clothes. That's all you have to do. This is a new study published in the Journal of Happiness Studies. It found that nudists, or naturists, as they're called, they prefer to be called naturists. They're happier than people who prefer being fully clothed around their friends.
How they know? That still don't make no difference.
Researchers found that people who hang out naked with other people outside of their immediate family are more confident about their bodies.
Hey,
and are,
Shirley, listen to me.
I'm just saying.
Most people I've seen pictures of that go to nudist colonies, ass don't need to be naked.
But
I ain't seen nobody fine at a nudist colony.
But they're fine to themselves.
Ones you went to? Which ones you went to?
You. You said you ain't seen nobody fine at a nudist colony. Which nudist colony?
I'm talking about in pictures. You ever see pictures of people that do that?
I've not seen them in person.
They got film footage. I ain't seen nobody fine.
You seen them in person?
But I think I don't think it's about being fine though. I think it's just about
it's being,
it is
being
for
you.
Me. Surely, I don't want to see you and your body ain't right. I don't need to look over there. Look, just keep your clothes on.
I don't think it's sexual in nature or
it
anything
is.
Like that.
It is. When men look at you and you naked, it's sexual. It's nothing else. This ain't art.
Well, I think that's the how that's body. What they're saying they're looking at it as. They're just being
art.
Free,
listen
being themselves.
When men see a woman naked, it becomes sexual. It's nothing else. We just
see,
over here without clothes on.
You ain't trying. You should just walk to your mailbox naked, man. You just feel it first. You got to understand it.
That's what they say. If you're not into the nudist lifestyle, try bearing it all just when you're at home with your partner or even alone.
I do that. I'm fine walking around at the house naked. I'm talking about in front of somebody. You ain't got no problem walking around the house naked.
You just be naked, Steve.
I done went all the way down to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Naked.
Yes. Don't it feel good? When you open up that refrigerator door and that draft hits you, woo!
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, though, when you trot down the steps, it do hurt a little bit.
Gosh.
That I found out.
You
can't
take
do that no more.
So try it. Yeah, try it. You don't know, Steve. You're just
and I tell you another, it's a drawback to be. When you got to go to the bathroom naked, there's nothing to stop you.
See,
yeah, you don't make it all the way.
I hate you.
Yeah, ain't nothing. You ain't everything. The gravity going straight down. You ain't got nothing to stop you.
That means you waited too late to go.
Nah, mess around, get over that leg, be wet.
Anyway, the butterfly waiting in the wings with his butterfly blog. That's coming up when we come back at 18 after the hour.
Great. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
To win.
To like win. That. Okay. Butterfly waiting in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what he's going to talk about today. Always girl, something.
Who cares?
Does he still have that whistle with him?
Jeez. Yeah, Super Bowl week. Big game week. Yes.
I can't stand it.
What's he making to wear?
Now that
<Who knows? laughs>
remains to be seen.
Sing out. Life. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Shirley, Carla, Steven. Junior's not in today. Tommy, good morning to all of you all.
Butterfly.
Hey, hey, hey.
Flutter.
Get it.
What's up, Eugene? What's happening?
Oh, my God. You know what? You know, it is Super Bowl week.
Mm-hmm.
You already know this.
Oh, you still have that whistle.
You already know this. Mm-hmm. Now, what's trending is, who is going to be the MVP? It's going to be Matt Ryan for the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Tom Brady. You better not mess with my Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to win this thing.
So that's your pick, Tom Brady?
You shouldn't even have to ask me this. Tom Brady finna come up here and act a doggone fool. You better ask somebody. But, you know, all my friends in Atlanta, Jawan, Jacoby.
A lot of J's.
Yeah, Lawrence. What's one?
Jaquil. What about him? Is he?
Jaquil. Socrates.
Oh.
All of them. What? Y'all already know. I know they pulling for the Atlanta Falcons. Cause
who is Skillip cheering for, pulling for?
He like Julio Jones.
Oh, okay, the Falcons.
He called him JJ for sure. Julio Jones. But anyway, it's you know, I hate to just rain on y'all parade. You already know. Mm-hmm. Baby, it's going to be patriotic. And it's time to be patriotic. What?
You I'm already listening. Know.
Yes. So I have my own patriotic outfit.
Uh-huh.
The red, white, and blue. So you're going to have to.
Whoa. You're going to wear the whole gear, the Patriots?
That? Everything. What's wrong?
You got a problem
with
it?
Who got a problem with it? We better have a Boston Tea Party up in here. That's what we better have. I'm inviting all of you all to my Boston Tea Party.
Oh, my goodness.
And be patriotic when you get to the door. Make sure you're wearing everything.
Okay. I'm not wearing that.
It's going to be so good. So I want you to... I was going to say tweet me, but I don't have no Twitter.
You have a Twitter account?
Mm-mm.
You have Instagram?
Tell me one. Get me one. I need a Twitter account. I need my own because I want you to let me know who you think the MVP is going to be for the Super Bowl.
Well, just okay, choose Tommy's for now.
Do that. At Nephew Tommy. Now, he just got to scoot over. At Nephew Tommy. Hit me up and let me know. But let him know you're hitting this for Eugene. Mm-hmm. Okay, but... Let me know, especially if you voting for Tom Brady. Either Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones.
What's just out of those two? Matt or Tom.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. You know who it is. Tom. That's who it is. All right. And I know Socrates is going to be mad about all this, but whatever. So, but we're going to have fun. We're going all going to Houston to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
We don't have no tickets. We just going to party. I see y'all. Love you. And I love all my Dirty Bird friends.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about which team in the NFL is the most disliked team.
We
I bet
know
you
who
can take
is.
A guess. I bet you can take a guess.
Uh-huh. Who? Which team?
We know who that is. I already know. What the hell you want to just tell you? We ain't got to do this.
No, I'm going to tell you when we come back.
Is it Cleveland?
Crazy in the sky.
Is it Cleveland? Hell no, it ain't Cleveland. What's the hate about Cleveland? We ain't bothering nobody.
Seriously. All right. For the second straight year, the New England Patriots are the most disliked team in the NFL.
That ain't for the
Surprise.
Second straight year.
Surprise. No, this is according to a new poll taken last week. It was released yesterday by the Public Policy Polling Organization. In the poll taken of 378 NFL fans representative of the U.S. population, 21% of the people dislike the Patriots, once again edging the Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa.
Dallas Cowboys at 19%. Now, of those polled, 42% said they feel negatively about the Patriots, compared to only 19% who said they think of their Super Bowl opponent, Atlanta Falcons, negatively. As far as who those polled are rooting for to win the Super Bowl, 53% are pulling for the Falcons. Just 27%, obviously, are pulling for the Patriots.
Ain't nobody asked me, so they can go and take it up to 54.
Yeah.
You pulling for the Falcons.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Brady said that this is the toughest one they've had all year. He's, of course,
why?
The most.
Why y'all ain't steal nobody else's play?
Deflate the ball.
Tom Brady is the most popular quarterback among the fans with 22%, but he's also the least popular with 24%. Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan was.
He a bad boy now.
Yeah, he is. Come on, you got to give it to him. Give that to him. Matt Ryan was the seventh most liked quarterback behind Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Ross Limburger, Ben Roethlisberger. You know him.
Y'all know who Tommy liked, don't you?
Russell Wilson. Huh?
Eli was
Y'all know who Tommy liked, don't you?
Oh, Dak.
No, Tommy liked Johnny Manziel.
Oh, why?
Now, why he bring that up?
You know, because they went to the same
school.
Does he
even play? He doesn't play anymore.
No,
right?
Man.
No, but he drank. Tommy liked people that drank.
I knew that was coming.
He was terrible. Just embarrassed the whole damn school.
So why is it that they don't like them, though? Because they win or what?
Who, people just cheat? Don't like people, you know. It? You may not. Hmm? Tom Brady as a person is a good dude. I don't like their team. But the boy, a bad player. He cold. And the Patriots got a cold, man. They strong. One of the most well-coached teams in the league. I don't care who they get. They find a way to get there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's interesting that you don't like the team, but you like the leader of the team.
Belichick?
I didn't. Hey, let me explain something to you.
No,
I didn't really care for Larry Bird. But Lord
cold,
Jesus,
though.
This boy.
Yeah.
As a basketball player, I was in awe of him. I went, wow. I just didn't like Boston.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of
the team Boston. I didn't like.
I like New Edition Boston. I like them.
Okay.
I like the city of Boston. I like the people.
I've never been to Boston.
I've been one
time.
No,
it's a great city, man. There's some strong people up there. I love Boston. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back with a prank phone call. Okay.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, strawberry letter time. Subject, I lost weight. And maybe my husband, too. I lost weight. And maybe my husband, too. That is the title.
That don't add up right there, sure.
No.
That
don't add up.
Well, some men now. Like, you know, a little thick.
Oh, yeah, I get that part. Mm-hmm.
Ain't no problem with that.
Well, she lost weight, and she may have lost her husband, too. That's what she's saying.
She done something. She did something. Dropped that weight and did something.
All right.
She got fined and lost her damn mind at what she did.
Well, he
thought
she was fine.
Well, see, you can't lose weight and your skill, too.
All right, what's the prank, nephew?
Can I paint your wife?
See.
What? This makes more sense than the letter.
No,
can I paint your wife?
Hello?
Hello, I wish to speak with a Mr. please. Hello, sir. My name is Sebastian. I am with the Art Institute. And I wanted to give you a call about... I have a huge showing coming up where I'm going to be displaying my portfolio and all of my drawings within it, but I have one drawing that I'm looking to display that I have not put on canvas yet, and I'm looking to take something of essence to put on canvas, and I wanted to call you about getting permission.
Well, wait, hold on, dog. Just to stop you right now, I don't do that, all right? I'm not a model. That's not my profession, so... You would not waste your time no more, you know what I'm saying? Just
go ahead and go. Mr. I don't think you understand that my showing is going to have some very important people there. Okay. I am, like I said before, with the Art Institute.
Okay, yeah, but like I said, dog, I don't do that. That's not me. I mean, dog, I hate it. You know, what, you just calling folks up? You a solicitor or something? I mean, y'all just randomly picking out folks and trying to get them to model up? Man, I ain't
sir,
trying to break
sir,
your heart
sir, enough. Sir, Mr. No, I'm not just randomly calling people. I actually have done research in order to get your number. What I'm doing is I'm not calling you as far being a model that I'm going to portray on canvas, but you have something far more greater visually that I would like
what?
To behold on canvas. Now, you're married to your wife is am I correct?
Whoa, dog. No, for real, who is this? Seriously, how'd you get my number? How'd you get my number? Because you're talking about my wife and stuff?
Sir,
you know my wife?
My name is Sebastian. I am with the Art Institute. What I'm trying to do is capture and immortalize the beauty of essence on canvas.
Okay, yo, for real, though? You don't talk about my wife, all right? So
I'm not calling in a negative manner towards your wife. I want to immortalize her and capture her on canvas. the okay. beauty that she beholds. I've seen your wife several times. You guys reside.
Whoa! You see my wife? Wait, where do you see my wife at? Why are you watching my wife?
I've seen her. She shops on 125th Street in Harlem. I've seen her so many times there. And she holds all the beauty that an artist would like to put on canvas. Like I said before, I have a huge showing in May. You're welcome to come out as well.
Yeah,
there's going to be so many important people there. But I want to call and get permission from you about painting your wife.
No, you ain't got that permission, Playboy. You just can't go around following my wife and trying to immortalize her, whatever you just said, all right? So, no.
But I would like to let you know, I have taken the liberty myself. I have painted your wife's head.
What? Yo, you have lost your damn mind. You can't be just walking around here painting folks' head. You got to get permission for that. What's wrong with you? You are crazy.
You don't understand. Your wife holds the essence that every artist wants to.
I don't care what she holds. You can't be going around painting folks' heads. What's wrong with you?
Sir, that's the reason why I'm calling, trying to get permission from you. I, Sebastian, want to put your wife on canvas because she holds the essence that every artist wants to behold. She immortalized the beauty of canvas.
Whoa. Hold up, dog. You telling me you walking around Harlem painting my wife's head? What kind of is that? What the are you doing, dude?
I'm only trying to complete my portfolio.
Your portfolio. Here, listen to this. If I see my wife's head anywhere, I don't care, newspaper, magazine, I don't care where, billboard, wherever, yo, I'm going to find your and I'm going to whoop your. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm going to sue to you. You understand that?
Sir, I don't want to have a duel with you, sir.
A duel? What the is a duel? What the is a duel? What the is a duel? In fact, what name is Sebastian? What kind of name is that, Sebastian?
Sir. All I want to do is paint your wife in her rawest and purest form. That's
what
all
the does raw and purest form mean? What the do you want? Seriously.
I want to paint your wife. I want to paint her in the nude.
Are you out your mind? No. That's what you should do. Tell me where you at. You want to paint something? I'll give you something to paint. Tell me where you at. 125th. Meet me 125th. That's what's up. I want to whoop your ass. Meet me. Paint me. You out your mind talking about you want to paint my wife in a nude. I'm going to take them brushes and stick them up your
Mr. She holds the essence that every person should be.
I don't give a what she holds. I don't give a shit. You out your mind for asking me some like that.
Sir, I must ask you, do you think that you are the only person that has seen your wife in the nude? Surely there's been men before you that have seen her in the nude.
That. Who the f*** are you? Hey, my wife ain't no mother. You call my wife a f***? Is that what you saying? Are you calling my wife a f***? You.
I want to paint your wife in the beauty that she beholds on canvas,
what
sir.
What the f*** did you not understand? I just said f*** you. No. I told you, meet me on the corner of 125th and Clayton Powell.
I got one more thing. I just want to say to
what?
You.
Say it.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy.
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Oh, man. I was moving furniture in here, dude. Tommy, you got me, dog. Oh, man, y'all got me.
It was Sebastian, sir.
Yeah, dude. Where the you get Sebastian, bro? I was about to whoop your and Sebastian's. I was to paint brushes and all. We was about to paint Harlem with your.
Hey, he told me, man. He said he loved his wife to death part. I said, all right, cool. let me say this right now. Loves you. Let me get one more thing from you, man. What is the baddest?
What you're
I'm talking about the baddest.
You ready?
Radio
buckle up.
In
hold
the
on
lane.
Tight. We got it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man. It's Steve Harvey in the morning show.
All right, subject. I lost
show,
my.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey
too.
Morning Show.
Hello, Steve and Shirley. I am a 35-year-old married woman who can truly say I am married to my soulmate. We have been together for 8 years. My husband is slim. He weighs about 165 pounds. I was close to 250 pounds when we started dating, and at my heaviest weight, I was 282 pounds. He loved...
Come on now.
Huh?
I said, come on now.
Oh, okay. He loved my weight when he first met me and loved it even more when I was bigger. He couldn't get enough of me. When I would complain about my hanging stomach or my cellulite, he would say I was crazy and that I wasn't big. He loved to play with my stomach rolls and to kiss on them. I got tired of carrying that load around and went on a serious diet. He thought I was joking because I have attempted to lose weight several times with no success. Now I have lost 96 pounds.
Wow.
But now I am rethinking this weight loss. My husband doesn't look at me with stars in his eyes anymore. He still treats me the same, but I can tell he's disappointed. I knew he liked bigger women, and now I feel like I should try to gain my weight back to the size I was when he met me. I was just as active then, and I still had a clean bill of health when I was heavier. Should I compromise my weight for my marriage? Well, I don't think you should make that kind of compromise. I really don't, because your health is the most important thing. Even though you said you had a clean bill of health when you were heavier, you have to think about when you get older and things like that. I just think this has to do with you and what you want. How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel healthier? I mean, you had to do this for a reason. You started losing weight. You said you got tired of it, so you went on a diet. So, you know, apparently you were feeling some kind of way. I mean, do you look better to yourself right now? To me, that's what's important for you. You say he still treats you the same. You say he's your soulmate. You guys have been together for 8 years. If he still treats you the same and he's your soulmate, I mean, I just think your health is the most important thing here. You got to think about that. And, you know, you can't lose weight or gain weight for someone else. You have to do these types of things for yourself. Steve?
Well, this is really an easy letter. Mm-hmm. All this is, you know, which one makes you the happiest? Yeah. That's all this is about. If you happy with losing weight, then you lose weight. Let him adjust. Let him adjust. She was 252. Heaviest is 282. She lost how much?
She lost 96 pounds, Steve.
96 pounds. Mm-hmm. So that put her around what?
Almost lost 100. Oh, after from 282. Let's see.
Come on, y'all. Just come on now. Wait, what y'all doing on the show? Get these calculators out. Give me this.
So she weighs 186.
She weighed 186. You still thick. 186. Nice thick.
That's nice.
She didn't mention
right
her height. She didn't even say how tall she was.
Now see. Now here go the thing.
What?
You probably 5'2". Now, I'm just going to go with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Monica's height?
Yeah, you're probably 5'2". I'm just letting that.
Say something else, because, yeah.
No, nah, just drink that for a minute.
Just let that linger. Drink that. Linger out there.
5'2", 285. We over here. We stand up against the window and walk off. You be wondering, who moving the love seat?
Steve, before you go too far.
Why is the refrigerator in front of the window?
There you go. You just got your ass.
No, you're just good.
You just got your
We're
ass
good
out
now.
Of trouble.
I just got my ass out of trouble, and I get right back in it. I'm tired of PC. I'm sick of politically correct. I don't do politically correct. I do damn jokes.
Can we just have
now,
a
if you're 5'2 and you're 285 and you're in the bedroom, it look like somebody to put the freezer in the bedroom.
Steve Harvey.
Why is the bathtub walking?
Oh! Are you crazy? Steve,
now,
too
that
far.
What he liked, that's what he liked. He liked that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think she's taller.
All right, 5'3". Fine. 285.
She lost almost 100 pounds.
185. The man like what he like.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Feel good about yourself. Do what make you happy.
Right.
So now you done went from a bay wonder to just a window.
I'm going to knock you out.
Boy.
Okay.
I'm not. I don't give a damn. Listen to me.
Do you know
we
that?
No.
We're a part of this. When they're mad at you, they're mad at us.
They mad at me about everything. I'm sick of these bottom feeding ass people. Kiss the dog.
Steve.
For real. Why can't I tell no more damn jokes? Can't say nothing about nothing no more. I'm on here for? What y'all want CNN? What y'all want this to be? Headline news? That ain't what I do. I do damn jokes. I tell a fried chicken joke tied to a black person. Ain't nobody saying nothing about that. I make one damn joke about somebody else eating something else. Now here come the damn email. Well, damn it, get back to email.
Oh, God, we got to go to break. Yeah.
And what? Now, she 285. Now, she done ate everything.
We got to go to break.
What? So this can't be about fried chicken or fried rice. This is just about 282.
Gather yourself. We have to go to break.
I'm sick of this right here. And when
you're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Back to the letter.
Back to the letter.
She said very cautiously.
Is it song over?
No.
We haven't played it yet. Here it is. I lost weight and maybe my husband too. That's the subject.
All y'all politically correct people, this is not the show. Turn your radio.
It's sunrise and I'm still in your bed. Good night.
All right, here we are with part two of Steve's response to the strawberry letter.
Now,
I lost weight.
I'm going to give you an example of what I ain't fitting to be. Not on this radio show.
Say that again.
I'm going to give you an example of what I ain't fitting to be.
Okay, that's what I thought.
See, all these punk-ass people talking about they going to get a petition and have Steve took off the radio. Wow. I walk around in a circle and march with your ass for 3 days because that's how long you're going to be out there.
Why are we back on
the air? Hell yeah, I march with them to get me off the air. I get out in a circle and hold a sign with you because I know your ass ain't going to be out there long because you don't know how to march long.
This ain't the letter.
This is the letter. This letter is all about being politically correct. So here's you want the answer to this letter?
Not.
You are slim, ma'am. You are very slim.
Okay.
And fat is such an ugly word. You are not fat. Please stop calling yourself fat.
So are we?
He loves your rolls. You still have rolls if you 5'2 and 185.
We don't
you
have
still
a
have rolls. He can still kiss your stomach. It's just less stomach.
I hate.
Now, it's okay. No, we're doing politically correct
we
humor.
We just prayed you
You
Buddhist.
Shut up, man.
Jesus. So we don't have a job you anymore now because you're marching against yourself?
I'm marching against my own ass. I'm going to beat you to the punch. You ain't got to get a petition take Steve off the air. Get rid of Steve. Get rid of Steve. Get rid of Steve. I'll get a sign and get out there with your non-committed ass. Because I know you ain't going to be out there but 48 hours. I'm sitting up here talking about they're going to picket my state. Man, get out of here. For what?
Steve.
All this that's going on in the world today and you worrying about me meeting with the president. You got to be out your damn mind.
Let it
Man,
go
find yourself something. I am letting it go. I'm washing it out of my system now. And let's get back to this letter about this woman who is not big. You are only 282 pounds.
She was.
That's a beautiful weight. And you should continue to support people in this weight range. Because it is the Christian thing to do. I wish I was 282 pounds.
Huh? What?
Yes. So I could be politically correct and say that love me the way I am. So what I have four chins? What difference does that make?
I hate this answer.
Can't you love me?
More than I hate you.
I hate this segment now.
I hate you and I
hate
your
Marjorie
answer.
I want to lay on my face and kiss all four of them. So now, This is the new politically correct comedy portion of the show. I think everybody should get to 282 so we can all feel comfortable around each other and support our sister who in her weight loss or weight gain.
Really?
That's what I think we should all do. Mm-hmm. Let's all of us get on the program and get up to 282 and show people who are larger than us that we love large people too.
Guys,
we love you so much that we're willing to be you. It ain't no damn jet lag.
That's what it is.
It's what y'all gonna get if I decide to go on to be some punk ass radio host. But I ain't dope.
All that time.
And you can tell that other dude on the other station, I got something for him too.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, ladies, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. Coming up.
What, girl?
Coming up at about 48 after the hour, the one and only Mr. Blue Eyes himself, Michael Ealy. Michael Ealy will be our special guest.
What is all that for?
Did you hear what I said?
What is this unusual whistle?
Did you hear? I said Michael Ealy.
Yeah.
You're
Why
welcome.
Y'all hot and bothered over here, though?
You're welcome.
We'll turn the air up.
You saw him.
Bobby! Come on, Bobby. Come on, Bobby Brown.
Bobby, I ain't know you were crazy until I watched your whole doggone thing.
Bobby!
Where you been living?
Right. All right, Steve.
Yes.
Introduce her. She is here. A lovely and talented one.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Jesus.
Shirley, I ain't know what the hell you was talking
no,
about.
No, your show.
I just told you.
A minute ago, y'all talking about Michael Ealy.
Oh, he's coming at 48 after the hour.
Saying, why
Eastern
are you calling
time.
Her a girl? Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Okay, let's get serious. In Quebec, a man is in custody in connection with what Prime Minister Trudeau says was a terrorist attack on a Quebec City mosque during evening prayers on Sunday. 6 people were killed. Another 19 were wounded. There were about 40 people in the mosque at the time. Sources identify the suspect as a guy named Alexandre Bissonnette. Some of his college acquaintances say that he doesn't like immigrants. Meanwhile, vigils are being held in honor of the victims, and police surveillance of other Muslim houses of worship in Quebec has been beefed up. The man charged with shooting 11 people and killing 5 at the Fort Lauderdale Airport early this month was formally arraigned yesterday. Esteban Santiago pled not guilty to all 22 counts against him. Prosecutors say Santiago flew from Alaska to Florida early this month and that once in the airport, he took a gun from his checked luggage, loaded it in a bathroom, and began shooting inside the airport's baggage claim area with the combined charges against
and
him.
But now
we got him and he say not guilty?
Yeah.
See, that's
well,
what's wrong
you know,
with
in this
country,
country
right here, this damn due process.
Well, in this country, you're only guilty once you're convicted. You're not guilty until you are.
He shot them people. He on tape. Mm-hmm. Now, we got to spend all this money. See, I'm a taxpayer. This taxpayer money now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're welcome.
You know, some people can get off who
put his ass
apparently
down
are,
in baggage
guilty.
Claim and shoot him.
Steve,
I'm
please.
With that. I'm actually with that. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm actually
just,
with
oh
that.
Oh man, hey man, just like that man went in there and killed all them innocent people in the movie. Sit his ass down in the chair, put a seatbelt on him, hand his ass some popcorn.
Popcorn. And let him wait on
and then what? Get his attention.
Start the truck.
And shoot all around him, then him. That we'll start doing this here. Cut all this mess out.
Okay.
But we have some damn gun control laws, you know, so I guess that's too much.
Too much like right.
Go ahead.
As we trudge on, thank you, Steve. The White House standing by its executive order restricting immigration to 7 mostly Muslim countries. Civil servants who work at the State Department are protesting the controversial immigration bans, and the White House spokesman says if they don't like it, they should just quit. Meanwhile, the public apparently agrees with the president on this one. A new Rasmussen poll shows that 57% of those Americans asked agree with the travel and refugee ban, while only 33% are against it. So they apparently agree with what's going on right now.
Who did they poll?
Oh, really?
Wow. Well,
because the protests at the airport.
Yeah, and around
the
world.
Well, they didn't go to
the
airport.
World.
I don't think they have television, maybe. Now back to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. We'll be back, ladies, with Michael Ealy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yeah, we back, Shirley. I got it. Coming up after this, Michael Ealy will be our special guest.
No, that's not how say it, Steve.
You better.
Okay. Well, we won't let y'all say it how you want to.
Michael Ealy after this. Woo! Come on, ladies.
Hey, y'all, that ain't going to get y'all no closer to the gate.
Woo! All right, we've been waiting all morning for this one. Our special guest is a dynamic actor that is known for his gorgeous blue eyes, for his great roles on screen, and he has been in a numerous amount of hit movies, and now he has joined the cast, we're so excited about this, of Being Mary Jane. That's right. It stars, of course, our good friend Gabrielle Union. Let's find out more about his role and this season. Please welcome to the show our friend, Mr. Michael Ealy.
Michael!
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Oh, there
good
he morning. Is.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Mike? Let me go and get in here. Somebody know how to talk to the man. Mike, how you doing, man?
Dog. What's up, Uncle Steve?
Yeah, I'm good, man. These two girls right here, it's an age limit to this hill.
We can't help it if we love Mike.
I've tried to talk to him. Hey, man, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed.
I mean, look at you. Yes, yeah, you are. Blessed, man. You keep doing it, man. You, Mary Jane is back tonight at 10, 9 Central.
At 10, yeah.
Your character, Justin Talbot, is Mary Jane's nemesis and new co-worker. Tell us about this role, man.
So they asked me to come on board and kind of shake things up a little bit. And, you know, Justin comes in and some of his views would be considered controversial. And so what he really does is kind of come in and you know, just when Mary Jane thinks she's, you know, just about to, like, kind of, you know, start this great new life, someone from her past that, you know, has somewhat made her miserable shows up to try and throw a big monkey wrench in her program at that point.
Bring it on.
Well, come on in.
Yes.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Well, one thing about all your characters, man, I got to tell you this. I have never seen you play a role that was not extremely believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very convincing.
I mean, even when your ass was under that bed.
Man, yes, I'm scared. Right.
Whoa, I said, man, I never looked at Ealy this way before. But this dude was under this bed really looking real stank about it.
Great range as an actor. Yeah. Many levels.
Hey, man, you and Gabrielle, y'all friends in real life, man. What's that like to work with your friend in a role like that that put you all on opposite ends?
You know, honestly, it's why I'm doing the show. You know, it's like I saw her at a wedding, and she was like, you know, she kind of came up to me, started talking about it, and you know, that's when I realized, you know, yeah, this would be great actually, because we've never really worked together. Even though we've been in the same projects, we've never really worked together.
Right.
So, you know, it was an opportunity for us to kind of work together. And Gabrielle and I, you know, we've talked for years about certain issues that affect, you know, what's going on culturally and such. So it was an opportunity to kind of work together. And if you know, anybody that knows Gabrielle knows that she has opinions, she has thoughts, and she will let you know them.
Yeah.
Way that you'll be like, damn, all right, I got you, okay. And so, you know, like, working with her, it's like what's fantastic is what's happening off screen. You know, right. what's fantastic is what's happening off screen and the conversations that we have about what's going on. And, you know, when I started working on this, you know, I got a lot of her insight as, you know, with regards to, you know, Birth of a Nation and everything else. And so it was very interesting and also at the same time very fun, because that is how Gab lives her life, fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you got a lot going on, man. How you balancing all this? You're a father again.
Yes, congratulations.
You're married, you welcomed your second child late last year. How you balancing this career, this fatherhood, man? Well,
It's been rough. You know what I mean? I think I left to go shoot the show, and I was going back and forth between Atlanta and LA because I told him I don't want to leave my family right now. It's just not a good time for me to leave. So fortunately, they were able to work it out so I could go back and forth. And my daughter is just, I mean. I don't have words.
Oh, we know.
Don't have words right now.
That makes us fall in love with him even more. He's such a sweetheart.
She just, when she smiles, I feel like I gotta protect that to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, we talked about that too, man.
We did. It's a long-term commitment. You know, it's a lifelong commitment. And I pray for the time to watch her grow up. That's what I pray for.
Well, yeah, it's coming. It's going to involve several death threats, like we talked about, Mike. You're going to have to put a couple boys in check. You're going to
need a baseball.
Put the barrel of a gun up under somebody's chin. All that's going to happen. And then it's going to come a point in their life. Here's what's really good about parenthood. Like now you're torn because you don't want to leave your family right now. It's going to come a time where you get in a position like me where you want to leave them. I cut the lights out in my office when they walk in the house so they don't see me in there.
Oh, come in there
and talk to me. All that's coming too, Mike. Yeah. It's a complete turnaround, man. It's where you just go, you know what, I've done my damn job parenting. Figure it out. Come on.
Yeah. I've heard that there comes a time when your kids, you know, they got their own friends and they don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided I'm gonna milk this time where they're like obsessed with me. You know, I'm gonna milk all the time I have while they're obsessed with me. So when they don't want to spend time with me, I can have that attitude. I don't want to spend time with you either.
Yeah, cool. I was glad my friends got friends. Hell, with cars, so I can quit dropping them off. I think it's great. Hey, man, this is a fabulous guy. This is a fabulous show. Being Mary Jane is hot, man.
Yes,
you got some great cast members in that. The storyline is great. Being Mary Jane is back tonight, everybody, at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central Time on BET. He's the new nemesis of Gabrielle Union, Mary Jane, and they going at it, man. It's good. Gets kicked off tonight. It's going to be hot. Hey, Michael Ealy, keep working, boy. Keep on working.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing it. I appreciate the support you guys every time, every project, every time. Thank you so much. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Ealy.
What a sweetheart.
Michael!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keep being fine. Yeah.
That's what you're coming with? That?
He can't help that, Carla.
Carla, you married. Your
I know.
Husband,
this is my
baby
job.
At the
he
house.
Knows.
Yeah, this
he
ain't
knows.
Your job. That ain't your job. Keep telling y'all job follow you at home. Stuff you say on the air follow you.
Now, the question we had earlier, now, if Michael was walking around naked, it'd be all right, huh?
Huh?
Remember the question we had earlier today? Huh? That's cool with y'all.
Tommy, you don't look like Michael Ealy. I have told
at
you.
All.
You talking about spray paint my
Tommy,
eyes blue?
Tommy, the men in our family, none of us have been fine. When are you going to make the damn adjustment?
Steve, where are you fine? Where are you fine? Come on now.
At the bank.
Oh, God.
That's all that matters.
That's all
I'm that matters. Damn cutie pie down there. But anywhere else. Damn, Steve.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Come on, Skip.
Huh? Oh. Okay.
So we love the new edition story.
Oh, my
right?
God. It broke
19 million people.
Yeah, now over 20 million. I mean, you know, unbelievable. That story was so good.
I want to see the Jodeci story.
Yeah.
Can't nobody finna do no damn Jodeci story.
Why you say
I
that,
I
want
to see it.
That'd be crazy,
Stacey
man.
Stacey and JoJo.
Yeah.
Like, where am I been
Devontae
doing story, man?
Timberland.
Man, huh?
I see, can see Chappelle in there.
See, New
Good
Edition
call.
Lasted for a long time.
30-something years,
and still
years,
out there
years.
Relevant.
Yeah.
I don't think Jodeci had enough hits.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well.
They weren't together as kids.
Yeah, they had some hits.
Yeah, they had some hits, but they weren't together.
Well, they
as
were
kids.
Just adults acting as kids, which is the same thing.
Right, whereas New Edition started when they were little boys and they grew up in the business, and you see all the ups and downs and the egos.
And them cats is relevant today.
Yeah, and they're still
yes,
are.
They can
and
they still
just,
tour.
They mm-hmm. just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, they're still doing it and touring and everything. But a fantastic story. Fantastic job. People are still talking about it.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
All right.
What you got?
What were you saying?
Oh, no. I was saying Steve is back from Miss Universe, Philippines.
What beautiful ladies. Yeah. What beautiful, beautiful young
women. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. First country I've ever been in my life, ain't see no black people.
Ain't you no guys were the only ones?
Not a now one. They were just taking our picture when they saw us.
You signing autographs.
I bought all the black people
a
to
black
Manila.
Person.
In Manila, I did not see a single black person anywhere doing nothing. It's the first country I've ever been to. I did not see a single black person.
Wow.
Not one.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
Wow.
They love my ass over there. I was the king and then me.
Well, and you were a little apprehensive about going, right? You didn't know.
Well, you know, I was cool with going. You know, I didn't know.
You didn't know how you were going to be received
this
year.
I didn't hear
after.
Nothing about no jokes or nothing, man. That was really cool. They was really, really warm. It was great. The enthusiasm. Let me tell you something. Mm. When the girls got on the bus to go anywhere, at one point, there was 250,000 people watching the girls.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. The rehearsal, the dress rehearsal, the day before the full dress rehearsal, sold out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it was more people there than at the inauguration.
You know what? You're going to stop.
I'm just asking.
That's your observation? That's what you got?
I'm just saying.
Stop.
We're gonna get on that.
I was really pulling for Haiti at the end. I thought Miss Columbia was fabulous.
Oh my gosh, she was my favorite.
Beautiful.
Oh, she
was
so
Haiti
gorgeous.
But Haiti was beautiful, man.
All of them, though, Steve. All of them were. I mean, to me,
I'm gonna tell you, man, who so I beautiful. Really thought had a really good shot, and she did. She only lost by one vote, and that was Kenya.
Miss Kenya was Kenya would have been gorgeous.
She was very, very smart too, man. She was one of the most impressive. She lost her parents at a young age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a life-threatening accident at five. She lost her parents at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first person for her country to represent Kenya for Miss Universe.
Wow.
An incredible story, this woman, man.
And then for the first time, they had a black woman as Miss Brazil.
First black woman from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw her. She was beautiful.
Yeah.
Miss Canada.
I loved her answers, too. Miss Canada, I thought she was good.
Confident.
Miss Canada was thick. She was controversial because she was the largest size woman in the pageant. And they were trying, there were some people saying she doesn't have the right side. The woman was right.
Yeah, she was.
See, I don't know
she was
where they.
Very confident. I loved her.
And it was
her energy.
Some of them girls needed something to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bathing suit just hanging on. You know, just going, come on now. You need some filler or something. You come out here, man.
How was Junior? Stunning. Did he lose his mind?
Yeah.
He should have.
Do good.
He's not here.
What that tell you?
Well, I probably have to tell you that, you know, they shut Junior's bank card off.
What? You lying.
Yeah, they shut his bank card off. Yeah, we was in the casino. They shut his bank card off because they said, based on your bank records, there's no reason your ass should be in the Philippines.
Did he tell them he was working for you?
Now, ain't nothing you can do, man. They shut him down. So I was the banker over there. All my crew.
Had to come to you.
I was the banker for everything. So I pimped. I made money off of it, you know. I charged interest rates.
Yeah, say charged, please.
What?
You just say it so naturally that you don't even realize.
Right.
When you say I pimped him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. 25% interest on my money.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I ain't the damn ATM machine. You come over here and get my money, it's 25%.
Wow.
Yeah, I tack on. Yeah. I tack on. I'm high as hell.
But that's I'm
I ain't long shark. I'm predatory lending. I actually practice predatory lending. Don't come to me. You come over here, man. You need $1,000. Ain't no problem, man.
Well, did he have enough money to get back home? Now you're scaring me, Junior.
No. He had plenty. But, you know, the money in pesos over there, Philippine pesos.
Oh.
So it's like 1 to 50. So they had $1,000 bills. Uh-huh. But the $1,000 bills was really $20.
Oh.
Not quite $20. Oh, man, I had so many thousands.
Wow, but you had
You should have seen me at the gate when I turned in my money so I could gamble because we was in a casino. Beautiful casino over there, too. I just went over there, man, just turned in like $7,000. I couldn't even carry the money out.
Because the pesos. It was so much.
I had my stuff in shopping bags. I had so many security guards. I had full-fledged SWAT team with me everywhere I went.
Wow.
Really, Steve?
Yeah. And they SWAT wagons are open. My son did a video of it. The SWAT wagons are open. They don't pull up and open their doors and climb out. They just pull up and start shooting.
Oh, wow.
The president over there is committed to slowing down the drugs in the Philippines. Hey, let me tell you something, man. They killing some people over there.
He's going to get it done.
If you over there selling drugs, you're not going to court.
Ain't no trial or nothing.
No. But it was the most secure place I've ever seen, though. And the people were absolutely beautiful over there, man. The Philippines was absolute. The people were so, so kind, man, and so appreciative of having the event. And the hotel I stayed in, what was the name of the hotel? Solidaire? Soriel? Stayed at the Soriel. The suite I had? Lord have mercy.
Really?
Off the chain.
Like that?
Lord have mercy.
Oh, right. For you to say that, it must have been baller.
Yeah, because you've been in some presidential suites.
Lord, this presidential suite right here, this was not playing, man. I had so many rooms in there. I had a little butler, but he was a Muay Thai fighter. And I recognized him as a Muay Thai fighter because I could tell by his walk. We talked about, I wanted him to whoop somebody's ass so bad. I pushed somebody on the elevator so he could just show me.
You know what? I can't be over there fighting.
Little bitty little dude, though. Everybody little over there.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Boy, the story, Steve. Whew. From the Philippines, you know, and from the pageant. Great stories.
I just really, in all honesty, I appreciate God so much. The more I live.
Well, good.
Because what he takes me through and allows me to survive and puts his angels around me and protects me and forever keeps me moving forward. You know, somebody sent me a thing that says, some people hate you simply because they can't understand why God keeps blessing you after all you used to be. Do you know that you all are running into that problem? That you all are running into the same problem. A lot of people just hating on y'all because they can't understand how God keep blessing y'all after all you used to be. See, then you got a lot of people in your life that are holding you to your past and cannot understand how you've risen to the whatever position you in and how God keep blessing you and keep you from going over. But after all the stuff you used to do, which people don't understand for the most part, is that God is in the forgiving business.
Yeah, and people aren't, so many people aren't. They haven't gotten there yet. They can't let it go, and they can't forgive.
No, and so many people make decisions about you without all the information. But all of a sudden, they have a full opinion of you. That's amazing, man.
I quit expecting people to forgive me, though. People ain't going to forgive you. They ain't not going to do it.
Some
I just
will.
It
depends.
Some will, but Tommy's right, though. It's, you can quit expecting everybody to do it because they're not. Yeah. Because some people really do enjoy hate.
Yeah.
They actually are under the misguided notion that their hate of you, for some reason, validates them or makes them better. That's a sad way to live. This is a sermon on clarification.
All right.
1 minute. I come to preach on the Trump visit.
Oh, Lord.
I come to set the record straight for my beloved brother. With all that's going on in the world today.
And he's making a lot go on. But go on.
The hell is you worried about a damn visit for? Ass can't get on a plane no more without getting sent back home.
Yeah, he did that.
Then fired the attorney general.
He did that.
Then insulted John Lewis.
Guess what he did, and I don't like that.
Set up on the campaign trail. Said he gonna repeal Obamacare.
That's what he said.
Now that all this is happening, what the hell is we surprised about?
Hmm. No, we not.
Sit your tail at the house and don't vote. Ignorant-ass black folk talking about hold my vote.
I voted.
Now that you done held it, what you gonna do with it now? They now taking your vote and packing it up in the center point. The crack. Darkness of your behind. Careful. That's what is happening to your vote now.
You packing it in too much.
Packing it in too much.
We gotta go.
We got to go now, Shirley?
We needed this to be
Why? Because this sermon liable to continue.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, music's so child. Look at the time. Time to go to break right now. We will be back to close out the show at 48 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Contest, love contest going on. All right, when we come back, our one last thing, the top reasons for cheating. We talk about this a lot on the show, so there's some
here
reasons.
We go.
Yeah.
These are the things that change.
Hey! Come on here now.
Yes!
Come on, Johnny.
Over 20 million people.
Damn, Johnny Gill. Can sing his ass off.
Yeah, he can, yes, Steve. Can. Yes, sir.
You
yes,
know, they
sir.
Broke all kinds of records. With the music story.
Did you hear him go low? Do it one more time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the...
Hello and hi.
Yes.
What the hell did that boy do? Mm-mm.
They broke all kinds of records at BET. I mean, over 20 million people watched the New Edition story.
Sure, wish I'd have thought of that.
I mean, people are still talking about it on social media. I mean, it touched everyone.
Man, what they really need to do, that damn Earth, Wind, and Fire story.
Oh, look at you. You'd be glued, wouldn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I'd be glued, but all the people that want to go see it are damn near dead, though. That's the only thing.
Really, though?
Yeah, that's damn the truth.
You mean just watch it on TV? You said go see it, like in the theaters? You mean a TV?
Yeah, you know, I'd be concerned, you know, because, you know, you can't get them all because, you know, old ass people forget stuff. I didn't know it was this weekend.
Your Maurice first day back gone? Is amazing.
All right, stop.
It's still people don't know Maurice gone.
Oh, Lord. Stop.
Why that boy hair like that? Lady Verdine hair been like that. That's the only thing, man. You just can't. My group, man. My group hard, man.
Well, it was a great movie.
Did you even
Yes. Yes. All
just
of that.
Hard growl. Uh-huh. Yes, damn, Johnny, you can sing.
Uh-huh. Yes, he can. That low and high. Right.
See, but that's when I became a New Edition fan. I wasn't really a New Edition fan. Because then candy
gum. After the bubble gum.
And that was part of their longevity, too, because they started off as kids, like we said, with the candy girl. And, you know, then they went into Mr. Telephone. Yes. Now, that was Johnny Gill's. That was Johnny Gill's favorite song, he said.
When he joined the group.
When he joined the group, yeah.
Bobby was like, he said, let me change the way that go, though.
But that just made Bobby's head even bigger.
See, I'm the star.
See, I'm the star.
Boy, Bobby was something else.
Bobby was clowning.
But it was his idea to form the group.
To form the group, yeah.
Now, that I didn't know watching the movie. I did not know that, that it was his idea.
Right.
So, and that's why they loved him so.
Yeah, that's why they were so loyal to him. Mm-hmm. And Bobby wanted to be a superstar and out of the group, and then he wanted to be in the group.
He was like, torn.
Yes.
Back out the group.
It was so good, though. It was just really, really a great,
Cause
great
when
movie.
I first heard that Whitney Houston was dating Bobby Brown, I didn't even believe it.
Oh, I think a lot of people felt the same way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was like the pop princess.
I tell you, the great
boy.
Moment for them when they was on that, went to one of them award shows in Vegas. They wore them white mink coats.
Oh,
But Peter was there.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
And what happened?
No, Johnny said, throw it, see what happens.
Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
The people Bobby just putting their little cans of red paint down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bobby said, throw it, see what happens. They putting them little cans of paint down, act like they ain't have none.
They try to play it off.
Oh, yeah, man.
Bobby was no joke.
I was walking past a lady with a coat on one time. I didn't even know they was out there picking. I passed by these people. I had a coat on, had some type of fur on. This lady said, look better when it was alive. And then I was walking with one of my hood partners from Cleveland. So I didn't really pay no attention. And then she started following me. I said it looked better when it was alive.
Oh.
I didn't know what she was talking about. I really, really didn't. I was just walking in New York. And so my boy Big say, hey, man, who this blankety blank talking to? And so I said, what? What you talking about? So then a guy that was with him went, hey. I should ruin the coat like you ruined the animal's life. I turn around, Big say, went over to him, grabbed him, and said something to him real quick. Uh-oh. The dude put the sign down and caught a cab.
Dang.
Seriously. My boy said something. Biggie Wig grabbed him by the collar and said something to him. He put his sign down and got in a cab.
He was through with the protest.
That's the guy that can do that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. See y'all tomorrow.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.